Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to Monday. Want to reach us? 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Bill. What's up? An interesting weekend, I see, on your Facebook page. Weirdo.
I hung out with the remaining presidents and first ladies, and we all posed for a picture. It's on my Facebook page. An interesting group. And then we went to International House of Pancakes.
IHOP, huh?
Yeah, we went to IHOP.
Did you have the boysenberry syrup?
I didn't. No, some of the IHOPs have a full complement. You can get 6 or 7 flavors of syrup, but the one we went to sadly only had the maple. But you know,
that's the only one I use.
That's your traditional. It's pretty good. I would have loved the boysenberry. If they had it, I would have gone with it.
Frankenberry?
Yes.
Wow, if they had frankenberry syrup, and do you, I say syrup, I'll say it right now.
You don't go with the syrup?
No, my kids always correct me. I say syrup.
Every time I hear serum, like in a medical context, I think of syrup. And I go, I wouldn't pour syrup on that guy. He's ailing. Please don't.
You make a great patient, don't you?
I would have made a horrible doctor, because every time I had to say serum, I would giggle. They would have kicked me out of medical school on the first day.
It's nice seeing the presidents together, the former presidents.
Isn't that an interesting concept?
It really is.
Not just together, and you know, they were together because of, you know, a very sad situation, the death of Barbara Bush, but it's always interesting to see them together and seemingly getting along nicely.
Well, what are they going to do? Fight?
Well, yeah, but I was looking at it, right? George Bush had his hands on...
Careful. On Hillary.
Careful.
On both, right? On Barbara and Hillary. Yeah, which was nice.
Yeah.
And where did Bill have his hands?
Not on Hillary.
Right.
On everyone else.
Everywhere but. All right, so here's the... All right, I hate to turn this into political, but it is political. If Donald Trump was there, would the mood have been the same? Do you think it would have? Because I don't think it would have.
I think the picture would have been the same.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, but all right.
He would have been on George's lap.
The picture would have been the same because whenever they take a picture, there's always that 5 seconds of fake smile. So
well,
the picture,
you have to do it.
You have to do it to show everybody that everybody's having a good time, even though it's a funeral. But I think
point.
That if Donald Trump were present, they would have smiled for the photograph, but it, you know, and I wasn't there. Maybe the rest of the time wasn't that merry. But when you look at that picture, you go, well, everybody there seems to be, under the sad circumstance, everybody seems to be enjoying it.
There's a weird thing that when someone replaces you, you want them to fail. I know you don't want the country to fail, but I don't think they care. I mean, Donald Trump is there. I think their former presidents, their hands are tied. They would have just gone on with their business.
I don't know if I agree with you, Wendy. I mean, I think that in a bigger picture, preceding presidents are often pretty helpful to their successors. They might not agree with them on the politics, but they agree with them on the mission.
What's the mission?
Well, of the country and the Constitution and the overall picture. I mean, they might not like one person's tax plan or this or that,
but
they're one of the few people who've ever held that job. They understand what the next president's going through. I think they usually do pretty well together.
And you want the country to succeed.
Absolutely, that's what I mean.
You're hoping for that the country does well.
Absolutely.
All right, so the other photograph that's making the rounds, there's one that's the team photo of all the former presidents and former first ladies.
And their dates.
But then there's another one where Barack Obama is sitting next to Melania Trump, and we don't know what he's saying, but he's saying something to her, and she is smiling, a big smile, a big broad smile. So there's a lot of...
What'd you call her?
Her smile is big and broad.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people wondering what exactly Barack Obama said to get her to smile. And several people have commented, he is achieving something that the president himself is having a very difficult time doing. He's making Melania smile. And, you know, I've seen her smile in the past. It's not the only time she's smiled. But you do wonder, because it's a very solemn occasion. It's, you know, it's the death of Barbara Bush, but they're sitting there, and he kind of just says something quick, and she just gives a nice smile. So what could it have been?
I feel you.
Right? It's got to be something in that vein. How are things at home? Everything good? You know, what could it be?
Why wasn't Donald there?
He's a very busy man.
I know that.
I think they said that it would tax security or something like that was the, what they said.
One more president would have taxed security.
Well, he is the current president.
I know.
But in that situation, there's got to be an incredible amount of security, right? There has to be.
There already was.
Right. That gathering of people, that's your most important gathering anywhere. I know the NBA playoffs are going on, but that gathering is the most important gathering of people anywhere over the weekend. So if he's there, maybe they beef it up a little bit, but it couldn't have been more beefed up than it was. It was really full.
I just be honest and go, I don't feel like going.
Right. Well, I always have nobody really wants to go to a funeral.
Absolutely.
Right? Nobody wants to go. There's an obligation.
You
and
go.
You're going for the surviving family
right.
members. Right?
And got to be honest with you, you want to make yourself look good, don't you? Don't you want to be just say, you know what? I really do care about you.
I agree with that part. It's not the making yourself look good. It's just
it's just
way of saying, you know, we've lost somebody that means something to all of us.
It makes you feel good too that you've shown up and done something that maybe isn't that fun.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break.
We go to funerals for very different reasons.
Well,
you just don't go.
I told you, I've been doing a thing lately where I go to the wakes. I don't go to the funeral because the funeral has a lot more of a religious twist than I'm comfortable with, you know?
It does.
Like at the wake, you can...
Non-religious, pretty much.
Yeah.
You're right.
Although they've been doing it, most of them, they do a thing where some member of clergy comes in and there's a blessing or a prayer.
That's usually at the end.
At the end,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But... I'm okay with the talking about the person and missing them and telling stories. I'm great with that. But I don't know. I'm not comfortable.
You don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it gets back to I feel like funerals are really just for family and super close friends.
And no one else?
I don't know. I don't like to.
But you've been to a bunch with people that you've worked with in the past or you've known, and you're not super close and you're not family, but you've still gone.
Not to the funeral.
No?
I usually
only
hit the wake, and then for funerals, it's family and close personal
friends.
And
that's all. But doesn't the family then look at it, they'd go, boy, I thought he or she was much more popular. Here's the funeral, and there's only 31 people here. What happened? I thought that this would be jam packed.
Why do you turn everything into a competition?
Well,
Donald Trump Jr.
No, but I bet
there were more people at my funeral than anyone's.
But I bet there are people there's family members close to whoever died who would look out and go, "This is all that showed up for the funeral. What happened?" It's not me. I'm not looking at it as a.
But can I tell you something that's happened? I've gone to a bunch of funerals lately because three of my friends' dads have passed away. Four, actually, but three very close together.
Yeah.
And when you live a rich, full life,
yeah.
All your friends are pretty much gone.
I know.
So that limits the attendance.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does.
That's
and
truth.
It breaks my heart as I look around at some of these funerals with these older people, but it's like... it's friends.
Yeah.
It's family and super close friends, usually friends of the family, because all the friends of these people are gone already.
Right. I've had people close to me who have been up there in age. My grandfather's a good example. Like he said to me once, he goes, pretty much all my friends are gone. And
there
were nine kids in his family. There was only one left toward the end other than himself. I was with him one time when he got the phone call that his brother had died, and he was emotionless. Like, he got a call, and he's, this is what I hear. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Bye. And I go, what was that? And it was his brother who had died. And I said, wow. I didn't say it to him. I said to my mom later, I go, there was no emotion at all. And she goes, he's so used to it that the emotion's gone.
Isn't that heartbreaking?
Horrible. Horrible. All right, let's do this.
This is a nice way to start a Monday.
I know.
Jeez.
Jasmine, do we have any cake? Could you bring out some cake? No? All right, we'll take a quick break.
Balloons? Anything?
And then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we're starting our work week in a very sad way. We were talking about wakes and funerals, and of course, Barbara Bush passed away over the weekend. Dan, we had some wake talk that we saved for you.
Medium time listener First-time caller.
Oh, congratulations on all that.
Thank you,
Dan.
Love your show. I'm only home on Monday, so you're the highlight of my day.
Thank you so much.
Anyway, I've always said the wake is for the survivors, because I told my wife, I said, when I die, I'm either somewhere better or I'm nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
So do whatever makes you happy, you know. Throw me off the side of a cliff, charge $5 for people to spit on me.
Oh, jeez.
But, no, I mean, you always remember who came to the wake.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, whoa, I was surprised that somebody you worked with 20 years ago showed up. So it's for the support of the survivors, because especially at that time, you know, you need that. And I agree with you, Wendy. The funeral is more for, you know, the real close family and friends.
That's how I work, but, you know, to each his own.
If you're going to go to one, go to the wake, because that's when, especially if it's been like a sudden loss, that's when somebody needs the support.
Yeah, so, makes sense.
And,
well, Dan, anyway. thank you very much. And if you only listen on Mondays, is this the saddest Monday show we've ever done?
It is.
No, they're always funny. They're always funny.
Well, thank you very much. I'll go to your wake, and I will not spit on you.
All right.
Thanks.
Dan's options were spit on me for $5. I don't know how you derived that price. Yeah, 10 or 15, at least 5. And the other, I think, was throw me off a cliff was the other one. Both intriguing options. All right. As long as we're on in the sad train.
Choo-choo.
Vern Troyer died over the weekend.
I was saddened to hear this because he was too young.
Yeah, 49 years old. Known best, of course, for playing Mini-Me in a couple of the Austin Powers movies. We had him on the show a couple of years ago, and then I went and saw him at the comic book convention in Rosemont. I had a nice conversation with him. Very nice man.
I was here when we talked to him.
You were here, yeah.
Why don't I remember
that
any
at all?
Of these things?
Oh.
Here at WGN?
Yeah. Hmm. You don't remember that?
Mm-mm.
No. But a very, very nice man, and everybody he worked with went out of their way. Mike Myers went out of his way. Rob Lowe went out of his way. Several other actors went out of their way to say, you know, what a nice time they had with him, how full of energy he was. And he was. He was very... when I went to see him in Rosemont, he was very, very funny. He didn't want me to leave. There were other people there to see him, and I spent a few minutes with him, and I said, I got to go. And he goes, no, where do you have to be that's so important? Well, there's other people to see
Hervé you. Hervé Villechaize's house?
Yeah. I was having lunch with Hervé Villechaize that day. But that's very, very sad. And we learned that the last couple of years for him were not easy. He battled depression for quite a while.
And that breaks my heart. It really does. You know, you see, I have to be honest with you, my son Dylan got confirmed on Saturday, and there were a lot of kids. So after Dylan went up with the bishop, I might have been looking at my phone, and an alert came over that said Vern Troyer has died at 49.
Yeah,
and it just it hurt me because 49 years old.
You know, there seems to be some link, and I don't fully understand it. But you mentioned Hervé Villechaize; he had a similar depression. He took his own life. There was an actor, and his name is escaping me. The last name is Rappaport, I think. He was in Time Bandits and a couple of other movies. There was another actor who used to be on Wild Wild West. He played a villain on Wild West, and he played a bunch of roles over the years. He also suffered depression. There's a definite link.
How's Dinklage doing?
I hope great. Peter Dinklage. I hope he's great.
Come on, you think about it. You're different from the rest of the world. I would imagine that weighs on you.
In a world that isn't always very accepting of somebody who's different, I can't imagine it not weighing on you. But these guys all had pretty decent success.
I read somewhere over the weekend, and I didn't read this in church. I will tell you that. I just saw the alert, and I said, oh, that's too bad. And I thought, quite honestly, that it had something to do with his diminutive stature that he died early. I didn't know if it was health reasons due to that. I was surprised to see, and it hasn't been confirmed, but it's thought that perhaps suicide. That's not official.
Right.
But I was reading a little about him over the weekend, and his first role was he was filling in for a baby.
Oh, he stunt doubled a baby? Did he? Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't know that. What I did know was, and I watched this play out on television, Do you know who Fred Durst is?
Yeah.
He's a singer. He's a...
From, was it Beastie Boys? Where? Who is it?
I don't think it... No, I don't think it's Beastie Boys.
I know who he is.
But
is it Limp Bizkit?
Yes.
Limp Bizkit. Thank you, Jazz. Thank you. There was this show on MTV, and I don't know what exactly provoked this, but Fred Durst wanted to fight Vern Troyer. And it was just, it was really weird to watch. And Vern Troyer then wanted to fight, and people had to separate them. And it was just a weird...
That's mean.
Yeah, I don't understand what would provoke him to want to fight Vern Troyer. But he did. I was watching it on TV. I saw it with my own eyes. And I remember, I didn't talk to Vern Troyer about it when we had him on as a guest, but I did talk to him about it in Rosemont. And he just kept shaking his head no. And I said, I would have put $20 on you because you seemed like you were ready to fight. And he goes, oh, you should have put $50 on me because I would have taken care of Fred Durst.
That's terrible.
It's awful, right?
And I'm a little distracted because there is an amazing correlation that was texted to us by 815 at 312-981-7200.
Can I guess what it is?
Yeah.
Is it the actress who played Minnie Mimi on the Drew Carey Show? Because she just passed away about a week or so ago.
Okay, it gets even weirder.
What is it?
If I may. Barbara Bush passed away over the weekend, and you, of course... remember I talked about her dogs that she loved, and remember what the name of one of them was?
Minnie Me. It was, wasn't it? Wow. Wow. That's crazy. I know.
I'm
what was the other one's name? I don't remember what the other one's name is.
Pickles.
Oh.
I don't remember.
I wouldn't want to be Buddy Sorrell's wife now, would you? Actually, I'd never want to be Buddy Sorrell's wife. Not just now.
What
ever.
Was the other one?
I can't remember the other one. The other one wasn't as cutely named.
Wasn't there Millie?
Was it?
No, that was...
Somebody else's dog.
No, that was
that
a
was
Bush
their
dog.
That was
their
Bush's dog? Yeah, that was Millie. That was the one that... There was a book on Millie. There was a bunch of stuff. But wasn't
Millie
there Barney,
has passed
too?
Away.
There was a Barney. A bunch of dogs.
Could
yeah,
be.
But this was where she... Yeah, Millie passed away in 1997.
Oh, this is the dog that's still with us?
Yes.
Oh.
So she was walking a couple of dogs.
There's a spot. I see a spot.
Wow.
Gosh, how many dogs do they have?
They went super inventive on that one.
Yeah. It's an English Springer Spaniel.
There really are dogs named Spot?
It says.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but she had, because the, oh, gosh. The main community remembered her because she used to walk her dogs. We read this.
Right, I remember that part. And I remember that one's name was Minnie Me. Now that
the newest member is Freddy the dog. Was there a Freddy?
No, it wasn't Freddy. We'll find it. We'll find it.
There are a lot of dogs in this family.
Right, I know. Mary, you said that. We did not say that.
All right, wait. The plot thickens. Lloyd, we have 1 second here, so go ahead and talk. Do you have a connection to Vern Troyer?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I wanted to mention the movie you were referring to where he was a stand-in for a baby is a must-see. It's called Baby's Day Out.
Oh, I saw that.
That was Vern Troyer doubling.
He's the double of the baby because the baby's going through all these crazy situations, falling out of windows. You know.
Yeah.
He is actually the stunt. I never knew this till after the fact. But then I went back and watched. It's incredible. And I did have the opportunity to work with him and got to know him. He was absolutely one of the nicest persons I've ever met. Funny. And the time I was working with him, it was right during the height of Austin Powers' success. And we did promotions, massive promotions with appearances and spent a lot of time with him and his manager. Everything from the dinners to the gentlemen clubs and so on. A lot of Vern Troyer stories, but he was a phenomenal guy, and I just wanted to give a shout out.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you so much, Lloyd. We got to run to news. We really appreciate you calling. We are running so
right.
late.
So late that we didn't even mention the gentlemen's clubs. We both of us just let that go. That Vern Troyer was hanging out
well,
in a gentleman's
club. Well, we can continue talking to Lloyd afterwards
Maybe.
If you want.
I need to know more. All right, we'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Steve. It's Bill and Wendy. Later on, Eric Zorn, our friend from the Chicago Tribune. Eric Zorn will join us. That happens at 11:35. Can I share something with you that I think is very funny, but I don't understand it, but I still think it's really funny?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I needed to find a photograph of myself for something that I was doing on Facebook. I needed to find a fairly recent photograph of myself. So the best way to do this was I needed to Google search my own name. And then from there, I know I'm not computer savvy, but I do know once I've done that, I just hit the picture tab and there'll be a bunch
images,
of images.
Yeah,
images. And then there's pictures of me. All right. So here's what I did. I went to Google, and please do this so that people know I'm not making this up. Go to Google and put in my name, my first name and then my last name. And then before anything else, I will preface it by saying what you do, and anyone can do this, obviously, whenever you Google your own name, is there will be something to the extreme right that says people who searched for you or people who searched for this also searched for this. And then they'll show you other people. Now, normally, like if you said, I want to search for the Cubs, Chicago Cubs, then it'll say people who search for this also search for, and it'll show you the Chicago White Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals, similar things, Ernie Banks, that kind of thing. It's always things that have a lot in common with whoever you've done that search for. All right, do you see mine to the right?
I search on Google, so it doesn't offer that.
Yeah, I got it.
All right, so see if yours match up with mine, Steve. They should. People who looked for me on Google also looked for, what's the first one?
Mike Royko. Joe B. Cerny.
He's the voice.
Oh, my God.
He is the voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy.
And then
Dean Richards.
Get Stacey Carroll.
Stacey Carroll is an actress who is in the first Major League movie.
And okay. Of course, Steve Yeager.
And Steve Yeager, former catcher for the LA Dodgers.
My God, that's funny.
It's funny to me because Mike Royko was a well-respected columnist here in town for 1,000 years.
And you're the exact opposite.
I couldn't be less like Mike Royko. It's impossible.
Do Bertrands. I can't find mine.
I just did mine.
Who came up for you?
Another Steve Bertrands.
Another guy named Steve Bertrands?
Yeah, there's actually a guy in Hollywood who writes film music.
Oh, that's cool.
I've had him on. It's kind of fun.
Well, have you talked to the other Bill Leff?
Yeah. The guy who's in charge of Bill Leff flyers?
Yeah, like an aerial
he
gymnast.
He does stunt tricks.
Yeah.
He does tricks with his airplane, and his name is the same as mine. And I've been several times booked to events because they think I'm him, and he said the same for him. They'll call and ask him to show up somewhere because they think he's me.
All right, who's mine? I can't find where you've also searched for.
I don't know why you don't have that feature.
I'm on Google. That's where I...
Yeah.
Really?
All right, I'll put yours in and see who comes up for you. I feel sorry for Mike Royko, though.
Oh, don't.
Wendy, people who search for you didn't search for anything else.
Well, see, they know what they're looking for.
It's completely empty.
Serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, I think if you, you know, Bill, we're not all like you, obviously.
What does that mean?
Being searched. If you're not being searched, you got nothing to show. That's why... I had the
but
other
you
Steve
had
Bertrand,
one.
The other guy.
You had one. I don't know why none come up for you, Wendy.
I don't either.
Once people read what you've accomplished, they're tired. They just go, I can't possibly.
No.
This woman has done all this in her time. I can't possibly find anything else.
I'll tell you this. I am so frustrated with Wikipedia and have been that I wrote my own Wikipedia page because I thought, why not get it accurate
right.
And people could add and change.
But you cannot.
And, no, they refused me. They banned me. They will not put they will not give me a Wikipedia page, and they yelled at me for, what are you thinking doing your own? And I said, well, I wanted the information to be accurate, and they said, we will have none of that accuracy.
But how would they know that it's you? Like everything that's on Wikipedia has been submitted
because I wasn't
somebody.
Trying to hide it. I said, "Here's
a
Wikipedia."
That's what you needed to do.
Well, no, I didn't know that.
You can go on pages, and it'll say this material was provided by the.
After the page was already done, though.
Yeah.
You cannot make your own page.
So, but Steve could do it for you. I could do it for you. Mary could do it.
No, I don't know that, because now they looked and said that I don't matter in life, so I don't deserve a Wikipedia page.
Well, what's the requirement for who's allowed to submit?
Anyone but you. I'm not kidding.
Well, if you want it in, I could submit it for you. That's not hard to do.
I don't want. You would say so many lies about me.
Well, I wouldn't do it. My friend Mike Royko would do it. I don't have time to do it, but Mike Royko has nothing but time.
I think that's so funny.
Joe B. Cerny.
And who was the
other? He's the voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy.
And Major League, obviously, because you were in that movie.
Yeah, the lady who played Corbin Burnson's wife. Oh, but of all the people in Major League...
Would have been Charlie Sheen, would have been my thought.
Yeah, why wouldn't you look for Tom Berenger or Charlie Sheen or somebody like that?
Because look who the star is, you and Mike Royko. You're top of the heap.
Often confused for each other. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and give you more show. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks, it's Bill Wendy. Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Can I just throw this out here? We were wondering what the other name of Barbara Bush's dog was.
Yeah, Minnie Me was one.
Yes, and Vern Troyer, of course, passed away, and he was Minnie Me. There's such a weird connection there. But Barbara Bush also named her other Malty Poo, a Maltese and poodle,
yeah.
Bibi, B-I-B-I. And isn't that a little self-congratulatory? Because it's BB for BB Barbara
she
Bush.
She went with her initials, didn't
and
she?
And Minnie Me.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, people name their kids after themselves.
I don't.
No, I don't.
You either. Didn't either.
I always think, I know it's a longstanding tradition with people.
Why?
But if you're naming a child after somebody, you're paying tribute to that person. So why would you do it after yourself?
To toot your own horn.
I guess, but it doesn't seem... And then there are some families. Do you know anybody who's like the third or the fourth or the fifth? I know somebody who's the fifth. Richard the fifth.
Is he a king?
He's the king. King of Elk Grove Village. It's a tough position. But isn't that crazy? I mean, there's a million names out there. Why would you name some... Why would you just go, you know who's got a good name? Me. I've got a pretty good... I think I'll keep that name going. You're already keeping the last name going. Why the first and last name?
I don't understand that. And I, like, Jimmy Mack was named after his dad, but a different middle name, so it's not like the second.
Did he ever go by Jimmy Jr.?
No, it was Never. Jim and Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I don't know. I
but
like...
But it's still...
I like my kids having their own name.
Yeah, everyone in the family. If you got a family...
I don't want to share my name.
No. Just come up with a new name. Like the Royals. Did you see what they named their baby?
No, did they name it yet?
Murray.
That's really the name? Why do I believe you? I've known you too long to believe you. Why do
Prince
I fall
Murray.
For this?
All hail Prince Murray.
It could happen. I just know better than to believe you or Bertrand.
Are you talking about the royal baby?
Yeah, the royal baby.
Oh, yeah.
Considering they're saying it's either going to be Elbert or Arthur.
Ugh. I'd go those. Murray.
Yeah, me
over
too.
Those, yeah.
King Arthur,
Albert,
King Arthur,
yeah, Albert,
or Arthur,
Albert Prince, or Albert,
Prince Albert, and there's an Uncle Albert, right?
In a can.
No,
who's Albert of Monaco? Wasn't there an Albert of?
Yeah, but
yeah,
no,
there was.
Isn't one of Charles's brothers
brother.
Is named Albert?
Yeah, the youngest one, right?
Yep.
I don't know
Bill
of them.
Yep. Elizabeth, yeah. Yep.
You are you
Wendy, the one thing I know is the Royals.
All right, first of all, Lord, no you don't.
I know the Royals.
Can we do the baby shaming thing? Were you talking about that, Bill?
I would love to talk about that. So
what?
You started, Steve brought up something fascinating to me this morning.
This
I love
poor little
this.
Boy's being fat shamed in the first hours of his life.
Who, the royal baby?
Royal baby.
He was what, 8 pounds, 3 ounces?
Yeah.
That is not that big, you guys.
I know, but here's the question. Why do we still give that information? Not that we shouldn't, but it's so not relevant to anything. I think we probably started 150 years ago doing it.
Yeah.
And we just haven't stopped, even though who cares how much the baby weighs as long as it's within the averages.
Wendy, you've seen
people
this. If
care.
Somebody comes in
but
to
why
the
do
office,
they care?
They've just had a baby. So you always, it's... What's the baby's name? And then they tell you. And then somebody says, what did the baby weigh?
Right.
When in reality, that's just extra that's, information.
It's like for people who can't come up with a second question.
No, no one
it's
would ever.
It's important because then you can tell if the baby was born
prematurely
like, at a healthy weight or
yeah.
premature, like
okay, so,
10 pounds.
But then in this case, they've told everybody how much the prince weighed, and people online are like, going, wow, Prince Chubbo.
Everyone, well, wow, I thought she's a little person.
Well, I heard Dean mention it this morning saying it was a big baby. So in my head, I'm thinking double digits, you know, like
right.
10 pounds.
It was 8'7".
Eight seven.
Okay, but
your average weight is like 7 something.
But in
it's
our
between
everyday,
like 6'12" and 7'5".
In our everyday life,
right?
When our neighbor has a baby,
right?
It really, and you know, maybe you should ask: is the baby healthy?
That's
I never asked the weight ever in my life.
Well, but we all. I mean, it's in the wire copy. I kind of cut it out for the stories because I'm thinking, Not that, and don't get me wrong, this isn't a PC thing like that. We shouldn't do it. It's not.
It's just crazy.
It's just weird we do.
It's kind of archaic. There's no reason to do it.
Well, it's just, I think when you announce that your baby was born, it was like they weigh it and they measure it and you have that information. So you share it with people.
You never do it on the opposite side of life. Like nobody ever goes, wow, you know, my grandmother passed away. And they go, oh, that's so sad. What'd she weigh?
And
no one would ever ask that.
And Wendy, we've stopped with the length. The length really isn't given the way.
There was a time that people would always tell you how long the baby
22
was.
22 inches,
like
eight
it's
pounds.
A trout.
Well, all right. My oldest is 18, and he was a long one, let me tell you.
And then they're all curled up when they come out anyway. It's hard to straighten them out. Yeah.
So it's like tickets sold and attendance in the house.
When did they stop
it
with
was
the 20, length?
22 inches, but came out 13.
I would say the length stopped, would you say 10 or 15 years ago?
Because Michael's
maybe?
18, and they, you know, I have the little certificate.
I'm sure they still do it.
It can be on the certificate.
They still do it? What do you mean?
But it used to be people would ask that, or you would just volunteer.
You put it on baby announcements, guys.
I know. Why?
Because you want everybody to know that.
No, but really, what possible value is there in knowing that a kid is 18 inches or 23 inches?
Well, it's important.
None.
Later on in life when later, the kid turns out to be 6'4", so, and you go, wow, you're only 18
okay,
inches.
Okay, so put it on his 8th grade graduation invitation.
Right.
All right, see, this is where we come the difference between mothers and fathers. Really, because Mary and I are trying to defend this because it's like you want to tell the world everything, you know? It's
exactly.
Like you
it's
say it's first word.
I understand that, but if you stop and think about it, it really doesn't mean anything. It's one of the things we keep saying and doing, but it really doesn't mean anything.
Like, why don't they also say, so you have weight and you have height, why don't they also do texture? And you go, I have a baby and he's really bumpy. And people go, oh, no, is that all right? Yeah, we love having bumpy babies.
You don't do the bad stuff. Michael had a cone head. He had to wear a cone on his...
See, that's what should be disclosed.
No!
That's relatable. That I get.
They took his picture...
You almost named him Beldar.
Tell them you come from Remulac.
Yeah.
The woman was coming around to take pictures at Hinsdale Hospital, and he took his little cap off. I said, put that cap back on. He had a cone head.
And my daughter had a cone head, too.
He still has it. No, he's got a perfectly round head now.
But the kind of thing that's interesting to find out about a baby.
No, that's not interesting. That's a fault. You just want to give... It's the... Come on, newsman. Who, what, when, where, how, why, long?
The weight of a baby is not news. Even
you weigh a watermelon, don't you?
What?
I got a 5-pound watermelon.
Well, that's
relevant. Who's coming to my picnic?
That speaks to how much food you've got.
You know, do you ever...
You weigh tumors.
Well, the dingo wants to know how much your baby weighs.
Did you ever read in People magazine, whenever they do a story about anybody, no matter what the story is, they always put the person's name. They'll go, Gwyneth Paltrow, 43. And then they tell you the rest. And you go, good for her. But I don't, what bearing does her age have on this story?
On everything. They always say former Beatle Paul McCartney. Like, we got to know that.
Oh, that Paul McCartney.
Thought it was the other one. The one from Bridgeport.
Paul McCartney was in the Beatles? All right, let's do this. We'll take a break.
Then we'll get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we'll get to the bottom of this. People are on the phones. They want to chat about it. 312-981-7200. We will accept those calls in a few moments. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we are going to do some news. I want to tell you all that we have a new Instagram account. Do you know anything about this?
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very exciting.
We are at Bill...
How much does it weigh?
How badly will it hurt when I slap you?
Just curious.
We're at Bill Wendy Show. At Bill Wendy Show. We're on Instagram, and Jasmine is really doing all the work there. And we will start putting things up there. We are going to measure how long Bill is and how much he weighs and put it up on there later on
today.
I want
him standing up and in the fetal position.
And, I'm usually in the fetal position, Steve, so that'll be the easy one.
And 312-981-7200. We will take your calls. We're going to do some news. Pip, pip.
The Royals have had a baby, Wendy. I was wrong on the name. I said it was Murray. It is Machiavelli.
No, it is not.
Prince Machiavelli,
no. But he would get a discount on makeup.
And all cosmetic products.
What is the baby weight of this baby, Steve Bertrand? It was 8-something.
I think it was 8'3", but I don't really...
How many stones?
I think it was 8'7".
8'7"?
That's what I thought.
Their units of measurement are different in the UK. Yeah, they give us stones.
What?
Yeah, it's 2-stone, 3-stone.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be a full stone.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, we wondered, Steve really did put out a good question. Like, why do we care? I guess it's, I don't know why, but
because,
Mary...
Because, honestly, when you hear it, you don't know what to... It's one of those situations where you're given information, you go, I don't know what to do with this information.
Yeah, but you're a guy. Women know what to do with it. They file it away, and they go, oh, wow, that's a good-sized baby. How are you feeling?
Couldn't you ask that without knowing the weight of the baby?
No, because a 10-pound baby's big.
Well, in extreme circumstances,
right.
Like if somebody goes, my wife and I, we had a baby, 51 pounds.
And we named him Bowling Ball. Then you would tell that.
Then it's a story.
Or you'd say, well, you know, the baby's pretty frail. She's still in the hospital. Yeah. She's 3.7 or something. But if you're in your typical weight, it's like, hey, baby had two legs.
You wouldn't say that.
Steve, Susan, listen to these boys trying to say it doesn't matter.
They are ridiculous. They are, first of all... Speaking of stones, Bill and Steve.
Yes.
Let me ask you: Have you ever had a kidney stone?
Yes.
And did you care how big it was?
Oh, amen, sister.
No, yes. Because now this is a tricky one.
Oh, wait, brag about it.
No,
we carry these babies for 9 months. We shove them out that birth canal.
Right.
We deserve, you know, a big baby. Hey, that was a lot of work, you know.
So you're saying the number's more for the mother than for the baby.
Well, yeah, we all relate to each other about that. I mean, you know, you've had a kidney stone, and that little teeny little stone, you care how big that thing is?
So have you ever shamed, like, mothers who had small babies? You didn't really go through anything?
How big were your babies, Susan?
I had, they were all 6'3", 6'5", 6'8".
Yeah, those are little.
I'm like 5'200 pounds, you know, so they were big for me.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
So, and I've had my share of kidney stones, too, and I have to tell you a funny story. Last time I had one, and I was in the ER for, like, ever because I wasn't acutely bleeding or anything, and they made me wait, honest to God, like 8 hours. They wouldn't give me any medicine for this thing. Finally, they were about to hook me up to the IV. I said, wait, I got to go to the bathroom. I go, oh, there it is. You know, I had to pull it out of the toilet for them. I brought it out. They're all bringing it around the whole ER. Look at the size of this stone. It's unbelievable.
You should have sent out a birth announcement.
Almost. They all cared about the size of my stone.
How about that? Very caring.
You got some good stones there, Susan.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Susan.
It's really funny because I was just going to check out, you know, the birth of the baby because I wanted to see if it was 8'7" for sure, and it was. Yeah. And it says, the heaviest child at birth and biggest royal male for more than a century.
What, do they breed them small in London?
I guess it's their biggest one, Kate and Will's biggest baby. But isn't that hilarious? I'm like, oh, come on.
So when a royal baby is crowning, Mary, what exactly?
Oh, God.
That's the exact combination of letters I was hoping for.
Jeez. You are something else, man. I don't know what. And, you know, here's the weird thing, too. When Michael's 18, and when I was pregnant with him, they had these nuchal translucencies. It was an ultrasound, and they had various markers. Since I was over 35, Michael was going to be born.
Yeah.
So they have all these markers to try and determine if there are any problems with the fetus.
Sure. Yeah.
And then you have to do this little counseling thing. And I'll never forget, Jimmy Mack and I are sitting there, and they measure, like, the fluid behind the neck because too much fluid could show a Down syndrome baby.
Yeah.
And there's various markers. And then you sit down. We sat down with this lady, and she had a folder, and we were sitting there. You know, it's our first kid, and it's like, you know, just wanted to let you know that we're going to look at all these markers and let you know. And if there are some problems with this baby, are you willing to keep it? And we're like, yes.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, good. Because, you know, a lot of times if you have a baby and they have Down syndrome, they fare very well at grocery stores.
They said that to you?
Jim and I kicked each other under the table like, listen to this lady.
Wow.
Listen to this. I couldn't believe it. I know.
Wow.
And so they did these, I think I had two of these nuchal translucencies, and, you know, they can't guarantee anything,
right.
But they also check, like I said, I was going to be over 35 when I gave birth,
yeah.
And they said, we need to induce you. This baby is going to be over 10 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And so I was induced a couple weeks early. He was like 7'6". Right. How can they be so off?
I'm not sure, but you hear stories like that all the time where there's just a miscalculation along the way.
And I had already printed up the announcement saying, you know, he's a biggin'.
And return those to the Walmart. Wow.
Somebody has texted, you know, if we're going to put the weight of a baby, here's my next announcement. The baby weighed 7.6 and the mom weighed 186.
Yeah, put that on there. That's fun. That's a good time. Now, Susan earlier was talking about how you don't announce the size of a kidney stone. However, I was told, I've only gone through it once, hopefully never again, that the smaller kidney stones are by far the more painful.
Why? Because yours was smaller. Sharper.
And how big was yours, Bill?
I don't remember.
Just wants to say his was smaller, so it hurt more.
No, mine was like average size, but
as big as the Hancock Building?
No. Oh no, Wendy. No, that's not that's impossible. But I was told, and also my doctor said that she's given birth twice and had kidney stones twice, and she said, and I quote, "I would rather have a baby every week for the rest of my life than ever have another kidney stone."
She was just trying to make you feel better.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh.
For sure.
It worked.
Plus, for a kidney stone, you don't go through 9 months.
Right.
It is painful, but yeah. Right. Although, you know, you're not in pain for 9 months either, Mary.
Well, yeah, but you're still dealing with it.
True.
And you can't have a drink.
The Gap should have a bunch of stores called Kidney Stone Gap. Just to balance their baby gaps. There should be, everywhere there's a baby gap, there should be a kidney stone gap right next to it.
What a great idea.
I'm going to sell that to them.
Yeah.
Right after the show.
They'll be in line with Carson's for going out of business. All right. There are like five or six texts all in a row that say, of course, you have to announce how big the baby is, because if you're buying clothing for the baby, you need to know. And that's a good point,
that's
too.
That's right.
But is it that specific with baby clothes? It's not just newborn?
My new grandbaby was like 5'7 when she was born. So she was a peanut.
5'7"? No, holy moly!
5 pounds, wow. 7 ounces.
So that would be, extra small or small newborn clothes.
And she's still little to this day. So, yeah, you have to know.
And sometimes if you have like a 10-pounder, like Judy had. Judy, you had a 10-pounder?
I had a 10-pound, 14-ounce baby,
boy,
23 inches long. I weighed 110 pounds, and I was 5 foot tall.
Wow. How big did that baby turn into?
He's 5'11 and about 163 pounds.
Which you'd think he'd be a bigger bigger adult.
Nope.
Wow. Was that a very that must have been a fairly difficult pregnancy for you, huh?
No. My maternity tops didn't meet, but otherwise, no. It was easy, and he was easy when he was born. He slept through the night.
Wow. Everything worked out good then. Good for you. Yes, that's great.
Certainly did.
All right.
Well, so you think it's important to give the weight and length, correct?
Well, I did after having that. I was in the hospital. The lady had twins and didn't weigh as much as mine.
Yeah, the twins together didn't weigh as much as your one.
Yeah.
Nope.
I just think, you know, we all start judging each other early, so we may as well.
Right.
Thank you, Judy.
All righty. Thank you.
Even the other babies are just looking over going, look at the size of this kid.
Moose.
Right. That's a big baby.
10-16. Well, 10-16, wouldn't that be 11 then?
Yes.
16 ounces is a pound?
Yeah. So, did she say 10? Did she say 10-16?
I don't know.
Maybe the baby was born October 16th. Maybe she wrote it in the wrong part of the questionnaire.
Okay, yeah, this is it. Next time I'm going to send out my baby announcements, it'll say baby weighs 8.5 pounds, mom weighs 186 pounds.
That's so daring.
I like it.
Do it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and then there's more shows. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, if I may, a quick correction. I had accidentally said that the royal baby is being named Murray.
You've already redacted that.
Actually, Spaghetti. It is Prince Spaghetti. You were worried because over the weekend, one of your sons had a confirmation, and on Friday's show, you and I had an exorcist on the show. By the way, not one but two different people, by way of email, sent me a note saying that was very convincing. You'd almost believe that woman was an exorcist. She is an exorcist.
Yeah, but some people don't believe in that. I'm surprised you do, because you don't believe in psychics. I totally believe in psychics.
I have this weird, like, I don't really think that... I know that it's a thing. I know that people actually perform exorcisms, but I'm not really on board with the whole process that there's demons in there and that they're getting the demons out of a person or a house.
I've not seen a possessed person up close and personal, only in movies. Yeah. So I don't... I have an open mind for anything.
Yeah.
She didn't scare me. We had an exorcist on a couple years ago.
A bunch of years ago.
And that one kind of scared me. There was a house in Indiana that was possessed and some terrible things were happening. And that, I think he was a Catholic priest, I'm pretty sure. And that, I don't know, man. Boy, those Catholics do a really good job scaring you straight. More than the Sean Penn movie.
I brought up the movie The Exorcist. Actually, I think I brought up the book, the William mm-hmm. Peter Blatty novel, The Exorcist.
2-hour Exorcist?
So, yeah, mm-hmm. on Friday. William Friedkin, who directed The Exorcist back in the 1970s, just did a documentary called The Devil and Father Amorth, which is about a real-life exorcism. He went in and filmed an actual exorcism, and there's stories out about it in the last couple of days in Variety and a couple of other news sources. They say it's chilling to watch it really happen. I need to see it before I can pass any judgment. I'm anxious to see the movie, the documentary.
I would like to see it, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there are bad things out there. I got to tell you, it was really cool being in church and watching your kid get confirmed, because you've gone to the end of the line in helping your kid receive all their sacraments. The next one is marriage, which, you know, I don't have anything to do with, really.
Yeah.
That'll be up to him or them. And
you can influence it a little bit.
Oh, don't give me that power, because I will, and they'll never get married.
I'm positive you will.
Yeah, I got to stay out of it. I've learned a few things, that there are things that I need to stay out. I need to butt out, basically.
Yeah. So you can't get all seven of the sacraments, although we know somebody, Ted, who used to work here at WGN.
Ted Novak.
Like, there's seven sacraments, and you can only really get six.
Yeah.
Right? But his dad got all seven because he was an ordained priest who left the priesthood and then got married. So he, in the span of his lifetime, is one of the few people that had all seven sacraments.
Well, isn't death the last one?
Last rites is one of them.
Well, then how did he have that?
Because the crossroads one is always the sacrament of either marriage, or I think they call it the sacrament of holy orders, which is deciding to be a priest or a nun. So very few people are both married and a priest or a nun.
Although, you know? Am I imagining things, or did I read that the Pope wants to toss the idea around about priests being able to marry because there's such a shortage of priests? Did I get scammed on Facebook?
Oh, I've never seen that. I would think that they wouldn't want that, because the story I've heard 1,000 times is the church doesn't want that, because then they'd be responsible for the priest's wife and possible children, you know, that they'd be on the tab for those. So that would, you know, to some extent drain the church.
I'll just put them up in the empty convents.
There's enough of those. That's not a bad idea, Mary.
You know, it's bad because our church, they just announced that our priest is going to share another church, and he's going to have to be the pastor at both parishes.
Well, how can he do that on a Sunday? Would he drive back
and
forth?
Well, it's in the same town, but they have to change the masses, because the masses are all the same.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to change them all the times. It's really
depressing. He doesn't do the... I mean, there are other priests that do masses.
We have one priest. And he is leaving. He's going to become in charge of the deacons of... Yeah. And the other priest is going to have to do
masses. Is this just because they can't get somebody else to come in? And
I believe
they don't want to pay somebody. Probably.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
there's such a shortage.
I'm sure is down. You know.
Wow, I never heard of that.
And they're both churches in Villa Park, and now we're going to have one priest.
Wow.
We're not happy about it.
No, I bet not.
The Telegraph.
That's in England, right?
Yes. They had an article this past November saying Pope Francis has requested a debate. So he's not saying that this should happen, over allowing married men in the Amazon region of Brazil to become priests. That's likely to outrage conservatives in the church, according to Vatican sources. But he's saying that there's such a shortage of priests out there that if you were to be able to tap into people that are married or allow them to get married, perhaps we could get a younger Reverend Tim Tom kind of a thing from the middle.
Do you remember, I'm trying to think, we would probably have been in grade school. Yeah, it would have been grade school when they made the decision, like forever, mass could in the Catholic religion could only be served by a priest. That was it.
The communion?
Yeah, well, not just the communion, but even just saying the mass. Like at our church, it was unheard of for anybody but a priest, either
the
pastor.
Who else is doing it?
Well, then
the
became,
deacons
could come in. Like, I had friends of mine whose parents became deacons, and then all of a sudden, they were up there saying the mass.
Really?
And you'd see people just going, I never in a million years thought I'd see this.
Well, you know, deacons, that's my next-door neighbor. Deacons can do weddings.
Yeah.
And they can, as long as they can't do communion, that's it. But we have so many deacons in our parish. We have like six.
And we have lay ministers that can administer communion. And the 6 o'clock mass is the rock and roll mass where they have the guitars and everything.
Yeah.
It's 6 o'clock on a Sunday night, which I got to tell you, I don't love that mass. It's too late. You got laundry. You got to go to the grocery store because it's a work week. It's a school week the next day. But seeing these young, I guess they're high school kids that are in the youth ministry, they come out and administer communion.
And they're high school kids?
Yeah, and they're part of the... And it's so funny because Jimmy Mack went to 12 years of Catholic school, and he's like, I'm not going to a teenager. I'm going to the priest. Because you know how the line will split off that you can go...
Right.
He will make the line wait, so he goes to the priest. He will not go to a teenager.
To the Eucharist. Well, they're Eucharistic ministers, though. They have to
pass all but that stuff. That's the hippifying of the Catholic Church.
Well, they don't want to become priests, though. That's as far as they go.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it was really a touching, wonderful moment to sit there and watch a kid get confirmed. My second one. Thank you. And someone texted, I just want to mention this. Someone texted on Friday, you know, this isn't about you. This is about your kid who has decided to become an adult in the eyes of the church.
Yeah.
At that age, it's a funky age. Freshman year, I was confirmed in eighth grade. I just wanted to get it over with because my mom was on my back to make me go to CCD.
Sure.
When you turn to religion is when you truly become an adult, which is a little older. I'm telling you, a lot of these kids were not there of their own volition. They were there because their parents wanted them to. So I am not the only one that was so relieved that this happened.
Yeah. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune will be joining us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Why wouldn't we?
All hail Eric Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune.
Here I am.
How are you, Eric?
My walk-up music. There
nice
it is.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Let's address the cover of one of our newspapers, the Chicago Sun-Times.
What the heck is up with that?
Very strange cover today.
It's a blank page, basically.
Yes, it is.
At the bottom of the page, it says, this page intentionally left blank. Your complete Sun-Times is inside. I've never seen a cover quite like this.
It's like their white album. They stole this from the Beatles, Eric. I've seen this before.
So are there posters of whom in there?
There's a double newspaper inside.
Yes.
No, it's meant to dramatize the, I guess, the dire straits that the Sun-Times is in right now. And inside is a note from Chris Fusco, the, I don't know who it's from now that I thought it was from Fusco. But
isn't it Fusco or am I imagining
things? No, I think it's Fusco.
Oh.
But they talk about basically what they're doing is they're putting up a paywall to their digital content now. And essentially they're...
The Tribune did as well.
The Tribune did, but didn't. I mean, we've gone back and forth over the years as to how we're handling this. And essentially they want to charge $7.50 a month for access to complete Sun-Times content online, which is a pretty reasonable price.
But the Tribune started something right where you were allowed five articles that you could see for free.
And then after that, you get charged.
Per month,
right? I went and noodled around on the website, Sun-Times website this morning, just to see what had happened. And I think that you blocked from reading articles unless you're going to pay, like I said, $7.50 a month for digital access to it. And that probably gives you access to the digital replica as well. I'm not exactly sure about that. I know the Tribune charges $2 a week, so it's very similar for digital access. And, you know, what this demonstrates, illustrates, whatever, is that it's a tough time in journalism. And, you know, we've also been hit by the newspaper industry has been hit by the tariffs on newsprint and the Tampa Times just announced that they were going to have to be laying off, I think it was like 24 people because of the increased cost. And I mean, it went from like $600 a ton. That can't be right, but you know, something like, maybe that's right. But it was like $600 to $800 per unit of newsprint, whatever it might be. And this is going to cost them a lot of money because of these trade things that are going on right now. And so that's going to hit.
Is this the ink we're talking about a tariff on, or the pulp that the papers print?
No, this is actually the paper.
The paper itself.
Yes, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, my understanding of it, I haven't read deeply into that issue, but I do know that they've announced that there are going to be some pretty serious layoffs, and that's going to be true across the industry.
Right.
And so what you're seeing with the Sun-Times is you're seeing this, basically, they're saying, hey, you know, we can't do this for free. And I think their circulation is probably down. Ours has certainly been down over the years because people are more and more reading on their phones. You know, I ride the train and I see people, everyone's on their phone all the time. And I think they are often reading our content or they're playing Candy Crush, whatever they're doing. But they are often, we have the saying in our businesses, we have more readers than we've ever had. We just don't have as many subscribers as we used to have.
So that's a mixed blessing, isn't it?
It is a mixed blessing. In that our content is getting out there. It is impactful, more impactful probably than ever. But yeah, I mean, you have to be able to pay editors and writers and especially columnists.
So if you're looking to cash in on that in some way, you have to sell ads online. Right.
Well, you try, and the problem is that those kind of, the banner ads have never proved all that effective, and the pop up ads. I mean, just the what people can charge for that just it isn't the same as what it is in print. We've never been able to replicate that. Of course, we lost most of our classified advertising to Craigslist and similar things, and we've lost a lot of our movie advertising, a lot of things that used to just fill the paper.
Even stuff like obituaries. There was a time where you had two pages of obituaries on a daily basis. Now there's days you turn to that part of the newspaper, and there might be 6 or 8 listings for the day.
That's because you know how expensive
it is.
They are.
Sure.
People are living longer, Bill. That's what
it is. Is that what it is? No one's died.
I can't believe how expensive obituaries are now, though. I had 3 friends who lost their fathers, and some of them did not put them in the newspaper because it was like $500. $500?
Right. Well, you also figure that now that news is carried on things like Facebook. Like if somebody you know has passed away, word travels faster on Facebook than the chance of somebody.
And then there are those websites like iLegacy.com, I want to say, where you can go and actually, and there's a very lengthy, often with photos and things like that, so that the word is getting out that way too. No, we are being hammered all across, in many different ways. And this is why I was kind of, well, I was annoyed by this ad that the Sun-Times created and put out just recently, kind of attacking the Tribune while trying to promote their own product. I think Jasmine has some of the audio from that.
Can we run that, Jess? All right.
There are 2 daily newspapers in Chicago. One that relates and one that doesn't. One whose priority is hardworking people and another whose priorities aren't so clear. One that stands together with those who stand up for themselves, and another that sits in judgment. One that's not afraid to get their hands dirty. Another that keeps their distance. One that understands your struggles. One that struggles to understand. One that is written in blood, sweat, and tears. And another that's written us off. One that covers the stories that most matter to you. And another that covers the ones that matter to them. There are 2 newspapers in Chicago, but only one that works as hard as you do. The Chicago Sun-Times, the hardest working paper in America.
Now, see, I think their problem is if they're printing the paper with blood instead of ink, it's going to be much more costly.
And I don't work very hard, so that doesn't work as hard as I do.
So, I mean, of course, we just played their entire ad, which is probably what they wanted. I think they wanted to get some attention for that ad. I just thought it was really unfair of them. First of all, I mean, we're all in trouble. There's all kinds of, like, the editor of the Sun-Times, his wife works at the Tribune, and we've had lots of cross-pollination over the years. It's like, we are friendly with them.
It's similar to the Cubs and White Sox rivalry, where you have...
Yes.
right? Yeah. You're in the same game, so there's going to be some competition, but it's always been a fairly friendly competition.
Fairly friendly competition, yeah. I mean, I'm good pals with Neil Steinberg, yeah. for instance. I mean, he and I used to snipe at each other in print, but, you know, we have lunch, and I think they do good journalism, and I have a lot of respect for the paper, and I'm really glad it's there.
Sure.
I did a piece in Sunday's paper where I took him to task for this. I was like, come on. Like, first of all, you know, I talked to Ed, or I had some communication with Edwin Eisendrath, who's the CEO of Sometimes Media. So what are you saying stuff about the Tribune? The Tribune's filled with journalists who work really hard, and, you know, you act like we're not covering stories.
That seems unfair.
I mean, we're the paper that started off this property tax series. We led the way in blowing the lid off the problems of the property tax, which is hurting poor people, low-income people the most, the way the property tax system is screwed up. And that's why Joe Barrios lost for re-election. And so, I mean, that was the Tribune. And Tribune has done so much investigative work in that area. I'm not saying this to denigrate the Sun-Times. We just have more resources. We have a bigger newsroom. And the stories we do stick up for the little guy. So anyway, I asked Eisendrath, like, what is this all about? And he pointed to some editorials that he disagreed with. And the Tribune's editorials, the stances that we've taken, our editorial page tends to be fairly conservative, and the Sun-Times has got some union connections.
Sure.
The AFL-CIO is on their board and so on. And I understand that. I totally get that. I mean, I sit with the people on the editorial board. I like them. But I don't agree with them a lot of the time, and it's fine. I mean, but that is one page in the paper. It's an important page, but it's a one page, and we don't have a lot of communication with the newsroom. So the idea that our reporters are covering stories that matter only to them,
and
are out of touch and so on. I thought that was just like way over the top, considering the kind of respect that we've always shown them over the years. Anyway, it was an interesting little back and forth, but
the paper a couple of years ago that suggested that their columnists go out or the reporters go out with a camera and snap the pictures instead of bringing a photographer with you? It'd be better for us if you went out, the person covering the story, and took the pictures.
Well, that was the Sun-Times, because they got rid of their entire photo department.
In a day, right?
Yeah, I think they got rid of them all at once. Again, it was a cost-cutting thing, and nobody thought it was... It wasn't like they were sitting around going, we don't need photographers. They know that they need
just
photographers.
And
they just needed to save money. It's part of what's going on in our industry, is that, you know, these papers are stressed. I think that the Sun-Times reporters do work hard. I think our reporters work really hard, too. We got people who are out. And, you know, one of the reasons that we are opposed to this legislation about bulletproof vests, have you been following this at all? There's a law saying that private citizens can't own or purchase bulletproof vests. One of the reasons that we're opposed to that is that when we set our reporters out overnight down in some of these tough neighborhoods to cover these stories, they were protection.
Yeah.
They were bulletproof vests. So anyway, I mean, the reporters in this town are working hard. They're not making a lot of money on either, you know, side of the river, wherever the Sun-Times is now.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
West. But I just thought, I thought that this marked a sort of a new low for me. I've been around a long time in this town. The competition between the papers, usually the ads are like, you know, we've got the best sports section in America, or, you know, we cover the world and that kind of stuff. And it wasn't like we cover the world and they don't cover anything. And it was the idea that we struggle to understand.
Very aggressive.
That we keep our distance. Very aggressive. And I thought really, you know, probably, especially given that we're all in such tough times right now.
Right. Absolutely.
So maybe we're going to see another newspaper war. I don't know. In terms of a battle for this diminishing number of readers. Or there's this sort of sense of cooperation that we're all in it together, and that we really do need people to, you know, sponsor the journalism, whether they're subscribing, whether they're having digital subscriptions, that kind of thing. And that's just going to come. You're just going to find that publications can't survive without it. And when they have smaller and smaller newsrooms, then you end up with, you know, with smaller and smaller, you know, coverage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Smaller news holes, less coverage. And one of the things that guarantees a democracy is you have reporters at meetings. You have reporters, you know, out covering events, finding out what's really going on, and not everyone having the spin doctors in
Absolutely.
Charge.
That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune, the paper that has stuff printed on their cover today, if you're looking for a newspaper.
If you're looking for a paper
that's
got something on the front page.
Although, don't you love the tabloid form? I'm sorry. I wish the Tribune would go tabloid.
Well, we did have that red eye.
Yeah, I enjoyed
that.
Weekly.
I mean, this is kind of cool. I mean, this blank front page. People are talking about it. We're talking about it. We were all talking about it upstairs. It's like, you know, it's a big deal. It's a moment in Chicago Journal. People are going to be talking about this for a long time. You know, tabloid headlines are great. The ones in New York are fabulous. Right. So it's a fun part of the tradition. And again, you know, I think we really hope that the Sun-Times doesn't go away.
Of course not.
We've always, you know, because not only do we have friends there, but I value it as an institution, you know, that brings the stories to light that we don't cover for one reason or another.
It's one of those cases where it makes you better. Having the competition just naturally is going to make you better.
Oh, sure. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
It just does.
Yeah,
sounds right.
Terrific. Hey, I've got another story to talk about the front page of the Tribune today, but...
Can we wait a few minutes,
Eric,
on this?
Eric, you're such possible? A great actor. I swear.
I mean,
God.
I can tell I guess this is something wait. That needs to be discussed, but can we wait just 2 minutes?
I guess we can wait. Right. It's a great scam, though.
But, we'll cover that next. It's Bill and Wendy along with Eric Zorn on WGN. Wendy, a quick correction. I earlier said that the royal baby had been named Prince Murray. It is not Murray. It is Amukamara. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. Eric,
I just don't know what to believe anymore.
Interesting.
Not Bill Leff.
Interesting story about a change of address gone awry.
It's on the front page of the Tribune. I didn't see it on the front page of the Sun-Times.
No, there's nothing on the front page of the Sun-Times.
I didn't see anything on the front page of the Sun-Times.
It's empty.
This is a fascinating story by my colleague Jason Meisner. Apparently, this guy, 24-year-old guy, lives in Rogers Park, used to work at UPS a while ago, among other things that he'd done.
Mm-hmm.
He goes online and he fills out a change of address form
mm-hmm.
for UPS headquarters in an office park in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
fills it out to go from there to 6750 North Ashland in Chicago's his apartment building.
Yeah.
He fills this out, and so Postal Service goes, oh, okay, that sounds reasonable. UPS is relocating to a small apartment in Rogers Park. And so for 3 months... The mail that's directed to UPS. Thousands of pieces of mail goes to this guy's apartment.
How does this happen?
Well, it's because it's really easy to do, right? It's really easy to fill out a form.
It shouldn't be anymore.
You could do this if you had a neighbor you didn't like, right?
Yeah, but why don't they check anything?
Well, apparently they say that they do. They say they send a form to one address and then the other, but that this doesn't happen all that often. They only have about 1,000 inquiries like this a year, but it just seems to me that when you have something that, if it's a residence, right, and you're just like, I'm moving this residence from here to, but if it's a business, you'd think that would be worth a phone call or something. Anyway, this guy, the 24-year-old guy, he apparently,
Chicagoan,
yeah.
Makes us proud, doesn't it?
Deshaun Spruce is his name. He allegedly cashed $58,000 worth of checks.
Okay, how did that happen, too?
Well, that's again.
Has it had his address?
Sort of low security, but he's got the checks. Maybe he endorses them to himself. I'm not sure how that works, but
it wouldn't have his name on it. It would have UPS unless he put his name.
Well, he maybe signed it or endorsed, paid to the order of. I don't know how that works either, but in any case, it just calls attention to is really how we're all obsessed with security and,
right.
and passwords and stuff that you can go and you can go out at UPS and you can fill out a vacation hold and you just put your address in and say hold my mail. For 3 weeks, you could do that
for the postal service.
The postal, okay. Yes, postal, and this is postal service. Did I say UPS?
Yes.
I mean postal service. That you can just go and fill this out, and they hold your mail. It's really convenient because
that's
they don't make you jump through any hoops, and it works very very well. But you would think that the postal carrier. In bringing, they said he's bringing literally tubs of mail to this guy. I mean, the guy, everyone has a little, in his apartment building, everyone has like a little cubby, where you get your mail. You get a couple of bills and maybe a magazine stuffed in there. Well, this guy was getting tubs of mail dropped off at his door.
Every day.
And you think the mail carrier would just go, UPS headquarters, 6750 North Ashland.
It's not his job or her job to look at it.
Well,
they're just delivering it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's one way of looking at it. On the other hand, you would think that maybe they would, some alarm would go off and they would come back and go, boss, I know it's not my job to monitor all these things, but it does seem weird to me that UPS headquarters has relocated from an office park in Atlanta to a guy's little apartment.
Isn't it a federal offense? I've always been told it's a federal offense to tamper with U.S. mail.
Yes.
Yes.
Even so much as, you can't go up to somebody's mailbox and take a letter out or put a letter in. You can't even do anything like that.
I don't know if it's a federal offense.
It's federal.
I know that it's a rule that you're not supposed to use the mailbox in somebody's house for anything other than mail.
Right.
So if you've got a flyer, political flyer.
I left garbage stickers in there for my neighbor today. I put it in their mailbox.
So
am I going to get arrested?
We're going to visit you. It'll probably be like a prison camp, not an actual prison.
There would have been a story about you on the front page of the Chicago Sun-Times today, Wendy, except for the except fact for that
dodged a bullet.
There was no Sun-Times today.
Right.
But it is. That's why candidates will put things on, they'll wrap things on your doorknob
right.
with a rubber band or something.
Right.
But no, this is clearly, a pretty serious crime. But the thing that's kind of, first of all, it's the absurdity of it. It's not like, he took a small business and moved it. He took UPS.
A major
company and did this. And the fact that it's apparently so easy.
And it went on for 3 months.
Nobody, that's the other thing about it. I mean, if they caught it in 3 days, the postal carrier goes, well, wait a minute, there's clearly a mistake. I mean, that's the one thing you'd look at and go, well, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, our postal carrier in our neighborhood, if someone's got like, it's addressed to us, but it's got the neighbor's address. Someone's like slipped a digit. They'll usually just put it in the right mailbox.
Sure,
they know the names, and so they're looking at the mail. They're not just automatons.
Yeah, right.
So it's it's just a story about. To me, it's a story about how trusting some places still are. Like, yeah, you want to change your address? Sure, go ahead.
Fill this out.
If you steal mail, you could be facing serious punishment under U.S. Code Section 1708 because the USPS is a federal agency. Mail theft is charged as a federal offense.
Yep. It's serious.
Could go to jail.
Eric, thank you so much for stopping by. Always good to see you. It's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up for you next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, NWGN.